Hello everybody and welcome back inside the Shark Tank. Unfortunately, this week we come to you with a slightly more somber outlook, having watched Sale fall 19 points to 11 to Leicester Tigers on Saturday afternoon. My name is Lewis and here to dissect that loss away at the league leaders, along with lots of other topics this week, and my co-host Alex and James. Alex, you've literally just come straight onto the podcast. We admire the dedication. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Slightly disappointed over the weekend, but I think it was not a huge shock, so less frustrated. And I didn't watch the game live, so that probably has helped me not get as annoyed at us. Instead, I went down to Sale FC, who managed to cling on for an unlikely victory at Hayward Road. So, one out of two for the Sale teams this weekend. But, I'm okay, but there's a big week coming up and I won't be okay this time next week if we're in the same position. How are you?
Not too bad. Unfortunately, I did watch the game on Saturday. Shout out to, I think it was Nicholas White on Twitter, who found a link for Sale fans to watch the game on. I did watch the game and it was absolutely dreadful, but we'll talk about that in a minute, so I'm a little bit less optimistic. James, how are you?
Well, every time I come on this pod, you look at games in isolation, don't you? And, you know, 19-11 at Tigers in the form they're in is no shame. And there's a context to everything. But I suppose just a slight sort of background concern just starting to appear when we look at the season as a whole so far and what's still to come. But I didn't watch the game live, watched it afterwards. So there's a bit of perspective there, same as Alex. So looking forward to dissecting it with you today.
Yeah, so let's touch on the Leicester game first. Admittedly, there's not a lot to talk about because it was a really sort of dire game, which for reasons we'll get onto in a minute. But then we're going to use that as a bit of a springboard to talk about the first third of the season as a whole. James, I'll go to you first because you made a very interesting point. You know, Sale obviously go away to Leicester, you know, unbeaten so far this season, league leaders. Sale are missing their first two fly halves, their three first team scrum halves, and come away with an 8-point loss with a chance to have snatched a losing bonus point at the end. Do you kind of look at this game, you know, with some rose-tinted glasses on and say, actually, you know, in the scheme of things, it's not a bad result? Or do you kind of look at the way in which we got there, you know, the try with 82 minutes gone, you know, to just about scrape a chance again at LBP and think, actually, this is maybe a marker of where Sale are this year versus a team like Leicester who are flying high?
I think if we got a losing bonus point at Leicester, I mean, that would have been a result, you know, in most years in history, and it's no different this year. So I think that was sad that we didn't convert that. I think if we'd actually got that losing bonus with the last play, we actually could have come away with some positive, you know, thought of mind. You know, we now have predictions. You know, we didn't expect to go there and win. So, you know, let's remember what we said at the end of the last pod. It was always going to be tough. And actually, when you look at the form of George Ford, who's putting up spiral bombs on us, actually, I thought we dealt with that reasonably well. But it sort of just pinned us back and, you know, just put the onus on us to play. And we're finding that quite difficult when people put the onus back onto us and they're physically able to deal with us, which is what I think really happened at the weekend. But, you know, Ford and then Burns, you know, at fly half, and then you've got at scrum half, you've got Youngs and then Wigglesworth, you know, and you compare that to what we've got. And it's a big ask for the boys. And I think I thought Gus Ward acquitted himself pretty well, actually. You know, I don't think you could say pinpoint 9 and 10 as being the reason why we lost the game. You know, to win with inexperience in those positions, you've got to be on the front foot and you've got to do your basics well. And I think, again, the jury is out on Tuilagi and Van Rensburg together in the centre. We've just never seen that quite fire in the right way. That said, there's inconsistency around selection at the moment, which, you know, it's not say that we don't want to see any rotation. We really do. We really, really do. But it's just making, it just means, I think, that we're just not able to get into a bit of flow. So just to come back to the original question, I think a losing bonus would have been an all right result. We haven't absolutely disgraced ourselves. We really haven't. We turned up, we tried hard, but we just came up a little bit short.
I think, Alex, get your thoughts in a second, but I think the reason why we were, or at least I was, a little bit negative after the game, so to speak, was, you know, it was kind of the inverse of what Sale have been able to do to teams for the last couple of years, which was front up with a big forward pack, control the game, control territory, and really sort of squeeze the life out of a team. And we haven't had that done to us, you know, for a long time. And that's what Leicester did, and credit to them. They were by far the better team. Their pack had the edge from a physicality point of view. They controlled all the possession, all the territory. And actually, because of that, and because of the way they were playing, that's what made it such a poor game. Because you can have games like that against Bristol, and they'll throw the ball around, or Harlequins, you know, and they'll make it a spectacle. But with Leicester, it was a very simple game plan. Either box kick from Ben Youngs at nine, or back to George Ford in the pocket, spiral ball. And like you said, James, thought Sale, on the whole, you know, dealt with that very, very well. Thought Gus War had a particularly good game in the circumstances and what he's being asked to do. But the problem is, you know, Sale for the entire game just couldn't get out of their own half. They had a lot of, you know, they did actually have a lot of the ball, but it was all in there, the sort of latter third of the pitch towards their end. And actually, because Leicester had the physical edge in the pack, you know, they were able to win turnovers at the breakdown and force us into mistakes and, you know, force the latches, you know, on our side to go off our feet. Simple penalties, George Ford kicks it, and that's the game. And I think the disappointing thing is that I thought Wilkinson had an okay game. I thought Gus Ward played very well. I think the game is very different if you have De Klerk and McGinty, because you can kind of get out of the trap that Leicester laid, so to speak. I think the really disappointing thing is that, you know, we came into this game saying it's going to be a matchup between the forwards, and actually ours, for the first time in maybe 2 or 3 years, got comprehensively outplayed, and that was a big reason why Leicester were able to execute their game plan and come away with the win. Alex, you know, what were your thoughts or main takeaways from Saturday's game?
Well, I think you have to come back to, as you very rightly pointed out, you know, this was Youngs and Ford against War and Wilkinson, and I know that we lost it up front, and there should be no surprise in this, how this game played out, because you've got Sanderson coaching one side, Borthwick coaching the other, both ex-Sarries, both a very, very similar game plan and style of approaching the coaching that they're doing. And so, you know, fundamentally for me, that then comes down to, you've got, as you say, two packs going up against each other, who we're reliant on both of those for the go forward. And there's one. We've got less excuse there, because I think we probably had pretty near a full strength pack. But also, if you put into context, you know, the missed penalties, the missed conversion, we're not that far away from winning that game if we've got 100% kicker. And if we've got a established nine, then we're also not that far away from winning that game, because we'd be able to better manage the game. I think you could tell that there was a bit of experience missing. And you know, this isn't a criticism of anyone in that squad, because I agree. I think everyone acquitted themselves well. And I don't think you can expect the performances of the level of two incredibly seasoned internationals. Probably, well, England's most capped player in Ben Youngs at nine. I think that's right. I think he's now overtaken Jason Leonard, but either way, he's up there. And for me, still technically the best 10 in world rugby in terms of attacking play and managing a game and kicking a ball, George Ford. And yeah, he's, you know, his tackling's not good and his kicking's never been that good, although it is much better now. But he's also in really, really good form. So I think you have to be really realistic about where we are, and to come out with, in effect, a losing bonus point within our grasp is actually really positive. You know, and Borthwick had his full squad at his disposal virtually. Alex Sanderson didn't, by a long stretch. So, you know, in terms of where we're going in 2 or 3 years' time, I'm still massively encouraged by this, because as you said, we're away at Welford Road. You know, this isn't a game, given they're top of the table, that anyone could expect to reasonably win at the moment. Certainly not a squad in the position that we're in. In terms of this season, and I think it's what we're going to come on to, it makes our start look pretty dire. And yes, we've had some tough games. We've had Exeter, Quins, Leicester, all of whom probably top four teams. But the problem is that when you add Saris into that mix, who are absolutely on fire and looking really good, that's the top four spots done. And we've lost to one of them at home and we've lost two of them away. So it's a really, really tough season now to get to where we probably want to be, which is top four. But that said, let's be honest, we've got virtually no momentum, we've got no squad, and we're still hanging around the middle of the table. A couple of wins on the bounce, and you know, the whole season changes. So I don't think it's anywhere near time for panic stations, and I certainly think there's a massive amount of optimism to come out of this. You know, Kieran Wilkinson 2 years ago was getting carried off the pitch at Esher, looking like he might never play rugby again. He's playing Premiership rugby, he's acquitting himself massively well. Yes, he's not winning games away at Leicester, but let's be honest, who is? There's very few people in the world who could do that at the moment. So I think realism and perspective are the order of the day, but I totally get that it's incredibly frustrating to lose a game like that and to not get the losing bonus point, and it creates worries about where we're going this season. But I think it's a long-term view, isn't it? And you sort of have to revert to that in the cold light of day in the week. And it just means that we need to win the easier games, one of which is next week, I think, for me. So that's where I am. I'm probably overly positive, but I think, you know, it's good to have a bit of balance, isn't it?
let's do some three-word reviews just to kind of help guide our discussion. So thank you to everyone who sent them in. Mattel. Box kick repeat. Fair enough. Charles Edwards, halfback inexperience exposed. I think that's probably fair. Carlos, better kicking needed. Max Boyle, attacking dreadful again. Den, something not clicking. Dominic Stone, must kick better. James Pate, we miss AJ. And Dan Thomason, one dimensional attack. So obviously, you know, relatively frustrated, you know, sort of sentiment coming from the Sale fans this week, and probably for good reason. James, I don't think there's actually too much to take away from this game. I think we've probably already covered it in the first 10 minutes, which is that it was very much an arm wrestle that Leicester got the better of. So I want to kind of pivot to kind of looking at this Leicester game as a jumping off point for the rest of the season. And I know we were talking off air a few moments ago about what this result means for Sale season. And where do you think Sale are now as we sort of approach the one third of the way through the season?
Well, it seems like just as pretty much a standard Sale start to the season, really, you know, pretty slow. We haven't really got in our groove yet. We haven't hit the ground running. I think the difference is because there's no relegation, right? I'm not saying we'd be in relegation material, by the way, but because there's no relegation and because there was such a good feel last year to make the playoffs for the first time in a long, long time, I think the most Sale fans have been happy to give a lot of space to this team and to Alex Anderson. Especially given the context of a lot of injuries and then South African call-ups and Lions and all of the rest of it. So I think that in some ways it's been the most relaxed I've been as a Sale fan for a very, very long time. If we'd had this start in nearly any other season, you know, you'd be sort of like going, well, thank God Worcester don't know how to play rugby. But that leads me quite nicely onto my next point, which is in rugby, you know, we talk about momentum being really important and confidence. And we're probably not that high on either of those two things, frankly, at the moment, right? I thought the Quins game was quite important just to get a little bit of confidence back into the system. You know, if we'd got a losing bonus point at Leicester, that might have been part of a general momentum build. You're only one win away from getting back that momentum. But we've said it so many times, so I don't want to overdo it. You know, this kind of thing of like the next game's the most important game of the season kind of thing that we do pretty much every week here on the pod. But actually, this game against Worcester that's coming up is just massively important because when you do look at the wider context, like you said, Lewis, two wins out of six isn't brilliant. But two wins out of seven would be pretty awful, especially if the latest one is a loss away at Worcester, who can't play rugby. So I do think we, to answer your question properly, I don't think I can answer it properly until next week. Because a 5-pointer at Worcester gets us back in the pack. So it wouldn't be an atrocious start at all. But I do start looking up the table and I start worrying that Leicester is so far ahead of us that even a run for us is going to make it difficult to close that gap over the next two thirds of the season, especially considering that, you know, Wigglesworth is available all year. Jack Van Poorfleet hasn't been picked by England like Rafi Quirk has. And George Ford and Freddie Burns are available all year. You start thinking to yourself, bloody hell, like, we might not catch Leicester. Then you think, oh, well, Quins are just behind them. We've got a game in hand still. Then Saracens have still got a game in hand on us and are ahead of us as well and are looking in dangerous form. I think they look like definite title contenders. So then you suddenly start thinking to yourself, blimey, like, we're going to have to just get on a run to keep up with them. And are we just fighting for fourth position already? Look, I'm disaster-sizing, listeners. I don't want loads of tweets saying I'm being negative. I'm just disaster-sizing and just trying to get some sort of perspective, which is difficult after only six games. But it does. There's just an element of anxiety just starting to just creep in at the background. I've still got full faith in Alex Anderson, though I think is a legend beyond all belief. I think we've got a squad of brilliant players and we've seen lots of homegrown guys brought in this year. So even if this year didn't turn out as we planned, I still think the future in the next 2 to 5 years is great. But if you're asking me this season, what's the context of the first third? It's not that great, is it?
No, and I think one of the things that I think is probably worth flagging is obviously this week the news came out that Faf de Klerk is going to be out for 5 months due to surgery, due to an injury sustained whilst with South Africa. Okay, that's fine. You know, it's bad, but it's not the end of the season. But the problem is you've now got our backup scrum half away with England, which is great for Sale and great for Rafi Quirk. But all of a sudden, you know, we're down to, you know, our third choice scrum half at best.
Yeah, well, Cliff's injured as well. That's the worst bit of the whole thing.
Well, this is it. I mean, that's why we saw Nye Thomas get a chance off the bench. Well, obviously he didn't come on, but had the chance to play on Saturday. And it does kind of feel, you know, it is fair to say we're only third of the way through the season, etc. But we are still third of the way through the season. Leicester are, you know, racking up points. Everyone above us has got some games in hand. And we do need to pick up points. And the problem is the outlook at the moment, yes, we'll get McGinty back. But after a pretty tough start to the season, you know, we've got the Dupreez back. We've got Tom Curry back. McGinty should be back next week by the sounds of it. Okay, we're not going to have de Klerk. But after next week, there's not really many players to come back. And we might already be in a position where we're looking up and, like you said, James, just trying to keep up at the moment. Alex?
I know we've just talked about it, but are we not only a quarter of the way through the season?
Because we're only played six. Games, isn't it? So it's like, we're not.
Yeah, you're right. After next week, it'll be more like a third, won't it? But we've got an extra team, haven't we, this year?
Yeah, so are we not? Is it not 24 games?
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
Yeah, we're a quarter. That makes me feel better. Take it all back, listeners. Beat Worcester with 5 points and it's just sunshine. Sunshine days.
I was really, because when you were saying a third, I was thinking, well, to be honest, I was thinking, I've not had nearly enough value off my season ticket if we're a third of the way through the season.
but I
take the point and I agree, but I think when you look at the rest of the table as well, you look at teams who will fall off, and Newcastle will fall off. Gloucester will fall off. We know that happens every season.
Sorry, Alex, but the problem with that is, okay, let's say those two teams fall off. You've still got Leicester, Quinn, Saracens, Saints and Exeter, who are all above us at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
And Wasps are only a point behind us with a game in hand as well. It's worth
But, you know, there's hundreds of good players and plenty of good teams in this league. And if we sit down, are we on paper any better than Wasps? Yeah, probably. Yeah. If we sit down on paper, are we any better than Leicester, Harlequins, Saracens, Exeter? No way. nowhere near. And Northampton were probably about level. So,
I don't know if I agree with that. I think with everyone fit, I think we're a better team than Leicester and Quinns. But the problem is we can't get fit at the moment.
Well, I don't know, because I'd have agreed on Leicester last season, but I think with everyone fit, Quinns are a better team than us. They play better attacking rugby, and the defence is nearly as good as ours. And the other team we've not even talked about in all of this, and the reason why it's definitely not time for panic stations, is that in 12th place, having won one game all season, is Bristol. Who,
thank God.
Just giving Pat Lam a 7-year contract.
You're right. It's rugby is one of those games, and as I said, it's momentum and confidence, right? And when you've got lots of chop and changing and injuries and a couple of things, we've missed a couple of kicks that would have got us more points. Mm-hmm. I think they're a tight group, aren't they, at Sale now? You can tell. They're a tight group, and I think they're going to come through it. You get 5 points at Worcester, and suddenly everything is looking better again, isn't it? But if we lose at Worcester, I think that puts a very different complexion on it, even if it's a quarter rather than a third of a way into the season. I've got full confidence they're going to go down there and batter them, by the way. Because if rugby's a momentum and a confidence game, then Worcester aren't... and they're absolutely nowhere on it, are they?
We do historically struggle at six ways, though. That's the only thing. Like, I don't think we've won there for like 4 years or something ridiculous.
No, since Jennings scored in the left-hand corner, last play of the game or wherever it was.
We did sneak it last year, didn't we? Or was it a draw last year? I remember having a heart palpitation because they nearly scored on the last play of the game. We nearly lost. It was a ridiculous game. It was like 40-odd, 30-odd or something. But you're right. The table moves so quickly, and I don't think you appreciate it when you're at the bottom of it. But if we were in fourth now, I don't think we'd be feeling any more comfortable, would we? We'd look at everyone below us and go, well, they're going to catch us up. And I think, think about Northampton's start to the season a couple of seasons ago when they were absolutely flying and ended up not even in the top four. Eight games they were top of the table and had barely lost. So,
and the Six Nations should go well for us because exactly, we've got all our South Africans available.
And Quinns will lose influential players. Leicester will lose influential players in the Six Nations because you can bet that Ben Youngs will be gone. And I know Wiggy's there, but it's a different proposition having Wiggy and then Van Portfleet than having Youngs and Wiggy and Van Portfleet if you want to play a different style. So, the hardest time of the year for us is when we've got players away with South Africa, isn't it? Because statistically, we've got more players in the South Africa squad, usually, than we do in the England squad. So this is always our most difficult period for a combination of reasons. I feel like we've shook off the dreadful slow start to the season. And, this season we've had a different issue, which is injuries. So I still think it's positive. I mean, we have to turn it around. That is the other point, that I can say all this and make all the, not excuses, but give all the reasoning in the world for why this isn't a disaster, but it also requires us to have our really good mid-season that we always have. Now, whether we can have that without that continuity, without that flow, that's the real test, and that's the massive test for Sanderson. And to be honest, not even for Sanderson, it's for this group of players, because the mentality is still an issue. We still aren't beating teams. We sneak past teams, but in no game this season have we been comfortable. And that is a massive on-field issue, because we should have beaten that Bath team by way more. We should have put London Irish out of sight. And we continue to give away yellow cards. We continue to make silly elementary mistakes on the field. And there's nothing, you cannot coach that. So until we switch that mentality around, then, we're not a top four team with the way people are playing this season. And I think that's the brutal honest truth. And then we have to improve. And, everyone else is improving, so we've got to keep improving too. We can't stay at the same level.
I think that's a really good point, because the last couple of years, Sale had this infusion of talent, and all of it came from, Pretoria or wherever. But, we accelerated our ascension at the table by being able to bring in these players. And fair enough, we finally had some money. The rest of the league has caught up a little bit. We've seen that with Leicester, players like Marco van Staden, Jasper Visser, etc. They are players who would get into the Sale squad and vice versa. Same with, you know, the Dupree as they'd get into the Tiger squad. But what's interesting is the rest of the league has caught up now. There's probably five top four teams, including ourselves, with Saracens coming back in. I think what is interesting is that if we beat Worcester next week, from the first seven games, we've won three, lost three, drawn one, we, you know, should have around the 18-point mark. And it's actually probably not a bad start to the season. I think what's more concerning for me, and Alex, I want to get your thoughts on this, is that whilst we're seeing some other teams around the league be able to win even without some of their better players, it does feel that Sale this year, and fair enough, we've had lots of injuries, but it feels like maybe the depth beneath our star-studded first team isn't quite there. And I think that's potentially the thing that's worrying me, which is that actually it was always going to be difficult to beat Leicester on Saturday without De Klerk and McGinty, etc. But there should be enough talent in this team to be able to get a losing bonus point before the 83rd minute. And the fact that our very expensive and very talented pack got so outplayed, I think that might be the worrying thing for me at this stage, and maybe speaks to the fact that our squad maybe isn't quite as strong as we maybe thought it was coming into the season. Do you think that's fair?
I think the comment about the pack is fair, and I think we continue to not fulfil our potential in that area, especially at scrum time. We really struggled. I think we've suffered from not really properly replacing the three. Well, I don't think we've got enough tight ends. We lost Wilgriff John. Jake Cooper, they know, wasn't playing, but didn't have him. We brought in Nick Schonert, who's an excellent replacement, but behind him, Oosthuizen is not a Premiership level tight end for me. I still think he's a loose head. I think he struggles every time he's at tight end in the scrum. And he had big boys behind him on Saturday and still struggled. So, you know, it's, then we've got the, I think our second row is decent. I think our back row is decent. I just think that in the front row, we've got some inexperience in some positions, that we're playing Bevan Rod and it's the right thing to do. But then I think we still, yeah, you're right. We still don't seem to dominate up front with that pack. Obviously, we also factor into this that the Dupree is coming back from injury and they've been so influential for us. But I think you're right, behind them, we are light in individual positions. We have a very, very strong set of forwards, but then we have one number eight, and if he's not around, we don't know who to play at number eight, and we have one tight end, really. And they're massive, massive positions, aren't they? You know, you can cover up with second row, you've got two, people can fill in at flanker, we've got a lot of depth there anyway, but if you've not got a tight end and a number eight backup, which we don't, then you're going to struggle when they're gone. So that's the first point. I think on the sort of counter to that, when we talk about other teams missing players, I don't think any team is missing as many influential players as we have this season by a long way. And I think probably the only other team that had was Bath a couple of weeks ago when they had, you know, a massive long list of international injuries. But they've got their own whole set of problems that we don't need to go into. And again, another team that, thank God, we're not there. But, you know, other teams have had injuries, but it's one player. And if we hadn't got AJ and we were having De Klerk and Wilkinson, or if we'd lost Faf but we still had AJ at 10 and we were having Rafi playing, we've lost two starting nines, two starting tens. We've then had various bans and injuries in the backs, and we're struggling in the forwards at times. We haven't had Lude for a long time. So I think, you know, we had Reuben Birch coming onto the bench to play second row. I think if we could go down and make a list of the players we're missing, I think it's getting better now we've got Lude back and the Debriers. But prior to that, we just had a list as long as your arm of really influential players missing. I don't think anyone else can quite compete with that level of loss. And that's why we are where we are. And that's why I say, you know, the sort of test is now in, okay, I think you've got enough players back now to be competing again in the top four. And I think this weekend was the first test of that, but it was the first time back. It was almost like an opening game to the season for a couple of players there, or, you know, first couple of games when everyone else has had a massive run at it. And Leicester, we talk about momentum. you can't arrest the momentum of a Leicester side playing this well with this much momentum in front of a capacity home crowd just by bringing Luke Diago back. It doesn't work. He's not Superman. I know he's really good, but he's not. So I think you're right. I think this Worcester game is a massive acid test of where we are as a club and where the mentality is. And it'll sort of, the excuses have been there, and I think we can give them. If we lose to Worcester, I don't think there's any excuse in the world for that. Whatever happens, it's a shocker. So, yeah, I think the forwards aren't dominating like we should. We've definitely not got depth in certain positions. And then if you go into the backs as well, you could talk about 15 and similar. But then also, if you look at the injuries we've had numerous players in key positions go down. So it's a complex moving parts operation. But I think I'm on the edge of my optimism, but I'm still an optimist.
It's why, even with everything we've seen so far this year, it's not time to panic yet. It might be time to panic next week if we can't beat Worcester. But you're right. Diaga, Beaumont, Curry, the Dupriers, De Klerk, McGinty, you know, that's what, 6-7 players just off the top of my head that we've been horrendously bitten by the injury bug. And any team with those injuries is going to struggle. I think you would have liked to have seen certain players sort of step up a little bit in those absences, which we haven't seen. But, you know, that's probably fair enough when your squad is so disrupted. And I think it's, again, it all comes back to this Worcester game. If we win that, we're on the right track. If we don't win that, then we can start to struggle. But two wins out of six so far, two wins and a draw out of six so far isn't that bad considering everything we've had to go through. And James, maybe we pivot to that Worcester game a little bit, because I think one of the things I want to get your thoughts on is we keep talking about beating Worcester, but beating them with a try bonus point, because that's what everyone else is doing at the moment. They're on this horrendous run. And from your perspective, just whilst we're kind of wrapping up the first quarter of the season, what's your thoughts been on our attack and whether or not we've got the right personnel in place to beat teams, like Alex said, you know, comprehensively and really sort of put the foot on the throat? Or do you think we're not quite there yet?
Well, I think Alex is absolutely right. I think that a lot of rugby is psychology, right? I was at Saracens Wasps at the weekend, and for a start, Wasps put out a much weaker team. I wonder how much we're going to see that because of the no relegation. Yeah, we are seeing some weird results at the moment with quite big scores that, you know, you wouldn't expect Worcester to concede 60-odd points. That seems weird to me. Like, in the same for Wasps, they had a sniff, scored a couple of quick tries, and suddenly even the crowd started getting a bit fidgety. Saracens then came back, scored two more, and it was all done and dusted. I think for Sale, if they can get out beyond one score, someone like Worcester then at home under a pressure from their own fans, people start to fold. You then score two more and you're miles ahead. Sale struggled just to get more than that one score ahead. And then keep it, you know. And we always score. We always say on our WhatsApp, if we can just get the next points or whatever it might be. Sometimes those next points don't come at all, and you end up drawing with Irish. So I do think there's a mentality thing where it's about just putting the foot on the throat and getting that extra score and getting beyond, because it just sort of enables you then maybe to play with a bit more freedom and take a bit more risk with your attacking game, which we haven't been able to do because, you know, you're worried about making a mistake and then conceding in a one-score game. So I think we have shown some signs of the attack improving. We mentioned it on previous pods, but we haven't maybe had the opportunity to play with a freedom of mind where we could really show our skills in an attacking sense. But our games haven't been beautiful to watch. We know we're not going to be come, you know, like even an Irish, never mind a Quinns or a Quinns or a Bristol, but there are weaknesses in those games, and we need to play to our strengths. And just going straight into the Worcester preview, then, as we may, I mean, they actually won their first game of the season against Irish with a try bonus point. So maybe we've got some lessons that we can learn from Worcester's attack there. I don't know. and then they actually got 2 points in their second game against Quinns. They got a try bonus and a losing bonus point at Quinns, which we would have been blooming well happy with to get to come out with 2 points at Quinns. So I think that was superb. But since then, the wheels have... I mean, if you have to find a descriptor for wheels off in rugby, the next four games are wheels off, right? So lost at home to Gloucester, away to Chiefs, home to Leicester and away to Saints, right? And get this, they conceded in order 31 points, 42 points, 48 points and 66 points. So if we're just going to compare ourselves and our attack against the last four games that Worcester have played, the lowest is 31 points, which was away, I think, at Gloucester. Might be wrong on that, but it was certainly against Gloucester. So that's what we're aiming at here. You know, you can't expect 66 points. How often does that happen in rugby? But, you know, 31 points, there's something there. So, you know, let's see what happens on that basis. But it's quite weird. You look at the team and it's not like the Wasps team where you looked at it against Saracen and went, oh, my God, like, yes, they've got a few injuries, but they've deliberately left a few out as well to rest them. You know, it's definitely, well, we're going to lose at Saracens anyway. Let's send a weakened team. And they got battered. We look at the Worcester team. Yeah, you've got a team with like Scott Baldwin in it. You've got Rory Sutherland, a Lion in it. You know, Scott Baldwin, loads of experience. Had a brilliant season with Quinns last year. Won the Premiership. First choice hooker. Loads of Wales caps. Two Kitcheners. Loads of experience in the second row there. Will Chudley or Willie Hines at nine. You know, these guys, they know how to put their team around the park. Ollie Lawrence at 13. We know what a fantastic talent he is. Matt Kvesic, you know, won premierships with Exeter. And then Duane van der Merwe, another Lion out on the wing. So what is going on at Worcester? I know that it's the preview and it's my job to really answer that question. I can't tell you. I don't know what's going on. I think the only explanation is that they've had a lot of changeover. And that's when you start getting disrupted defensive systems and you do concede a lot of points. So there maybe there are a lot of turnover of players and that's affecting things. Another thing might be that Jonathan Thomas has now made that step up to director of rugby. And I don't know if that's a step too far for him, but they're certainly going backwards really, really quickly. So my only worry, and this is that nagging anxiety at the back of my mind again, you know, it can't get any worse for Worcester here. They're not going to play worse than they played in the last four games. It's almost an impossibility. So I think they're going to turn up physically in front of their home fans. You know, they're going to want to put this right. They're going to be embarrassed, I think, with the way they played in the last four games. So they're going to come out flying off the handle. So we just need to make sure we match them physically in the first 10, 15 minutes. And then I think we need to make sure we get out in front more than one score ahead, because then I think it turns a question of physicality, which adrenaline and pressure can bring to the Worcester team, and shifts it to mentality. And I think that even though we've been questioning sales mentality over the last few to really get out and win games, Worcester are in an even worse place than we are. So I think if we can get out more than one score ahead, I think the Worcester players at home with the baggage of the last four games are going to really struggle to come back and win. So that's the big thing for Sale and for Worcester. My head-to-head, I'm going to go for Finn Smith against Kieran Wilkinson at fly half, presuming that there are not a return from injuries. I know that Owen Williams, a really good signing, I think, for Worcester, is out for a long time. And you know, Finn Smith's a young lad as well. So Finn Smith against Kieran Wilkinson, assuming that Rob Dupree or AJ aren't back. I think it's just quite nice to look at it. Quite similar, thrown in to professional rugby, trying to lead their teams around the park. So, yeah, watch out for that.
So, you know, Alex, I think we don't want to be too dismissive of Worcester, because they're probably due, if not a result, a better performance. But from a Sale perspective, this is obviously an opportunity for some players to sort of really make a statement and kind of get back to form. Is there anyone in particular that you think, A, you know, could be rotated into the team for this week, or B, that you're looking at very specifically to make an impact against Worcester in a way that, you know, you couldn't have expected them to do against Leicester at the weekend?
It's really hard, because I think there's a lot of players in this team who it feels like there aren't that many poor individual performances going in at the moment, and therefore no one's really playing themselves out of a jersey. But at the same time, there's not really any exceptional performances, and therefore no one's playing themselves into a jersey. And as a result, I think the main player who, and it's not really on performance, but more on leadership, is John O'Ross, because I think that he's getting to the point of struggling to justify his place in the team. He obviously didn't get sent off on Saturday, I don't think, unless I just blanked that out of my memory. So, you know, he's improved that part of his game, but I think he still gives away a lot of penalties. He offers commitment, but not necessarily. I think a lot of other players in the squad offer more, because Cameron Neal offers commitment, but he also offers better ball playing skills and, fundamentally less discipline issues. So I think it's a massive test for Jono as a captain more than anything, because his leadership qualities are therefore getting him into the team. Because I think on performance, I would be picking Cam Neal. So that's a big test, and it'd be interesting to see whether he starts. I mean, obviously, Ben Curry came off the bench and is sort of working his way back to full fitness. So, you know, there's always the potential to go with two Curries in the starting lineup, although I think we know that is difficult, albeit we have got the Dupreez back. I think we've seen a decent amount from Nick Schonert, but I still think that we need to see a bit more in the scrum. I still think he's getting a little bit dominated there. He's had good performances and less impactful performances for me, and I think we need more of the good ones. And then in the backs, it's really hard. I think Manny's had quite a good start to the season, and therefore, you know, I think he's necessarily not looked... didn't look as inspiring in a midfield partnership with Rohan, and I think we are too focused on trying to get them two into the same team. It just doesn't work, as we've seen, especially when you've not got Sam James anywhere in the squad. So I don't think anyone's having necessarily awful performances, but we need to turn it up. And I think what I come back to, and we talked about the attack, well, we briefly mentioned the attack, I don't think the attacking structure is that bad. Leicester made 90% of the tackles on Saturday. They were superb in defence. And, you know, we might have played into that slightly. But as you always have said, Lewis, and you'll start nodding your head here, we don't have any pace. It's really hard to be a top-of-the-league attack coach without pace. And we don't have any. We've got Byron McGuigan, Marlon Yard, Simon Hammersley, Rohan, Manu. None of them have separation pace. Rohan is the closest, but he is too... sorry, listeners, Lewis is sort of cheering in a silent fashion in the background. But Rohan is the closest, but Rohan's basic skills aren't there either. He loses the ball in contact all the time. He tends to want to look for half contact. He's not as bad as some people. He's not as bad as Byron McGuigan or Denny Solomon, who's desperately trying to go through the middle of people, but he still looks for contacts, doesn't look for gaps. So I don't think, and I think that's where we'll struggle, because that's what Northampton have in spades, and that's why they won by 66 points to 10, because of their pace. So that's why we're not going to score that many points. So I think, as I say, it's really hard to then go, we should be putting 40 points on them and we should be seeing amazing performances from the back line. I think Kieran Wilkinson getting continuous starts is really good for us. And I think if we keep doing that, and we can pick up a win at Worcester, it'll be massive. As we say, he's going to be playing against Finn Smith or Billy Searle. And to me, that is the reason Worcester are on the run they're on. They haven't got Owen Williams, and they've got Billy Searle and Finn Smith, neither of whom have proven at Premiership level. He went off in that loss to Gloucester. And if you can pinpoint a moment where their season turned, it's got to be that. Because as soon as he's gone, they are really struggling. And it's similar for us without AJ, but they just haven't quite got the quality to offset it, I don't think. So... I haven't really answered your question, which I'm aware of, and I presume someone will be shouting at their audio device for it. But there aren't any specific players who I want to see a massive step up from, but I think we need to see 20% extra from everyone. And to be honest, it's not effort, because we're putting in the effort. It's quality, and it's thinking clearly under pressure, and it's accuracy of basic skills. Because if we do that against Worcester, we will win. We have got a better squad. We're in a better place. But we have to not drop the ball as often as we have been doing. We have to not give away as many penalties as we have been doing. And when we get a kick 20 metres out in front of the post 3 minutes into the game, we have to kick the points. It's basic decision making. It's basic skills that we're lacking so far. And if we were doing them, we could be riding out the storm of having lost a massive amount of players to injury. And the combination of those two things, loss of players and poor basic skills, is killing us. So basic skills from everyone in the squad, and I think everyone's guilty of it. I don't think many players have really executed it that well. Probably Tom Curry, since he's come back, is the only one. So that's the ask from me. It's not necessarily individual players stepping up. It's a whole squad approach to not dropping the ball in contact.
I think that is a fair answer, though, because it is difficult because there's no one playing themselves out of a spot in the team, but there's no one playing themselves into it either. There's no one that at the moment that you look at in this team and say you are, you know, irreplaceable, probably Tom Curry aside. And I think that is a very interesting point, which is that on Saturday against Worcester, we are the better team. We should win. And to do that, we should be 20% better than the Worcester counterparts. And like you said, it has to come across from everyone. One player I'm particularly looking at is going to be Kieran Wilkinson, because if AJ is not playing, this is the chance. You know, he had a tough ask against Leicester, and he held up reasonably well. You know, against Quinns, you know, Rafi Quirk is this sort of super, you know, prospect, which made a big difference when we're at home. You know, now is a chance. You know, can Kieran Wilkinson manage the game properly? You know, can he sort of steer a dominant forward pack, you know, around the park? You know, can he bring Tuilagi off his shoulder or get Van Rensburg into a bit of space? I think we need to see a bit more from Sam James as well. That, I think he's been one of our most disappointing players this year. Not because he's doing anything wrong, but because when you've got a very young 10 in the team, Sam James is a fantastic secondary playmaker, and we've just not seen enough of him. And I think maybe that's a reflection of our coaching structure. Our attacking structure from the coaches. But again, you know, I'd love to see Kieran Wilkinson and Sam James sort of pulling the strings on Saturday, because I think if we do that, we're going to be in a much better position to win, even if some of our individual players aren't necessarily back at the heights they were last season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to move towards the position, especially with Kieran Wilkinson playing, where we shouldn't be going onto the pitch without a James brother playing in the centre. One of them needs to be playing in the centre, either Luke James at 12 or even 13 or Sam James at 13. Like Luke James, I feel sorry for. He's played one game this season at 12 and was excellent. And we haven't seen him in the other five. And, you know, I sometimes think, you know, it's about how the machine works as a whole. And players like Luke James, Cam Neild, they're players that just seem to get our machine working a little bit better. I've got to say on Van Rensburg, he does struggle with his basics. But you know, because he's injured so much, he doesn't get enough opportunity to kind of get up to match like speed. And so that might be a reason why he's played again this weekend, and maybe Manu takes a break. I don't know. But I'd love to see Luke or Sam James play in the centre. And maybe even Aaron Reid on the wing, just for that pace.
I just want to leave the pod this week with this thought. Do you remember a couple of years ago when Diamond tried Van Rensburg on the wing? I still genuinely think he was onto something there, because you look at what we need at the moment, what Leicester do very well at the moment, and it's having that massive physical specimen on the wing who you simply can't bring down. And I think Alex made a great point in that we struggle with separation pace, and actually at full fitness, Van Rensburg might be our quickest back. But one of the issues with McGuigan and Solomona, like you said, they seek out contact. But, you know, they're just normal size wingers, you know, that a player could be brought down. I would love to see Van Rensburg get a shot on the wing, because he's so big, he's so powerful, he's actually so quick that he could have a Ndolo or Naya Rivaro-esque impact for us. And maybe that is a way to unlocking the team. And it obviously sounds a bit silly, it's a bit speculative, but we were playing Denny Solomona at 15 earlier in the year, so nothing's off the table. And actually, away at Worcester, that might be the best chance you get to experiment a little bit and see what you can unlock. Because I think genuinely, Van Rensburg as a winger might not be a bad option. And at this stage of the season, I think we could go down to six ways on Saturday and win without scoring more than 20 points because of how good a team we are versus where Worcester are at. But maybe this is the time that we do start getting a bit silly and a bit crazy, and we see what happens. So I'll leave it on that. Let's do some predictions. So we're not going to predict whether Rohan will play 11. We're just going to do the scoreline. So Alex, your score prediction for Saturday.
I think it's not going to be as enjoyable as we want it to be. I think it'll be Sale 26, Worcester 20, and I don't think we'll get the try bonus point.
Okay, I'm going Sale 22, Worcester 15. I think it's we should have enough to win. I think we will win. But I can't see us getting that try bonus point. I think it's going to be a bit of a laborious victory, but it's going to be a victory nonetheless, and we'll all feel a bit better next week. James?
Sale are going to win 27-16. I think it's not going to be runaway, but it's going to be comfortable enough in the second half.
I'll take that, two scores. So that's the pod for this week. Slightly different tracks, you know. We've got to mix it up sometimes. It can't all be sunshine and rainbows. Massive thank you to everyone who's listened and sent us their frustrated three-word reviews over the weekend. Thank you to everyone who obviously follows us on Twitter. Thank you to everyone who supports the podcast on Patreon as well. It's patreon.com/the Shark Tank. We've just put out our reaction to the England's Autumn International squad. So if you haven't listened to that yet, do check it out. We've got some stuff planned for the Autumn Internationals as a whole in the next week or so as well. And yeah, massive thank you as always to Alex and James for giving me, you know, a different perspective on things and challenging the way I think and my maths. So yeah, thank you very much to you guys. Anything you want to say before we sign off?
Just to encourage people to do go and listen to that Patreon pod, because we talk about how much of a disgrace it is that Jamie George didn't make it, and then literally 12 hours after we recorded it, he got called up to the squad because Luke Cowan-Dickey got injured, so you can have a good laugh at our expense. But yeah, thank you very much, everyone, and thank you to Opta and Ben for the stats that I have used sparingly today, but always pour over and try and get them in well this year.